Not just because the fact you're in the next room.
Oh, there we go.
Are we all ready to start again?
Kick on Bob, says the panel now.
I can remember what I said because I rehearsed it all day. Are you ready, Muller?
I'm ready.
Good man. You got your F-bombs out of the way. Hello, welcome to the Big Mac Show. Yes, this is the show where we've pushed it all together because every bugger's at Mac Stock and we got no guests. I made a joke earlier on because we've recorded this once already. I'll put the silent version on. That'd be good for the audios. Bottom of the barrel's here. Here we go. And we've got a load of people to talk about anything, including Apple. So if you've got the Apple, the Mac Show open, and you're listening to it, don't write to me afterwards and say that I've put the same show on the big feed, because I know I have, all right? It's been posted. It's dual posted on both ones. So don't listen to it twice unless it's a really cracking show and it's hilarious. But we're not drinking tonight, so it might not be. But then it might. Joining me, top left, Alan Hauschel. How the devil are you again, Alan?
I'm good, Ewan. And yeah, as I say, really looking forward to this time next week. Should be tucking into the Bash Friday Night Curry.
It will be.
The start of a long weekend.
At the Kismet, 5 o'clock. It's going to be awesome. What a weekend we've got in prospect. And you've changed your holiday flights, haven't you?
Yeah, we've actually, I've taken a day off work Friday to get up in plenty of time for the curry and then change which airport we're flying out to Italy and delayed our holiday by a day just to make the Bash on Saturday.
See? That's what you call commitment. The rest of you that aren't coming, you're dead to me. Sorry. Unless you've got a really good reason, Righty.
Yeah, I really have.
You have. You've got a really good reason, that's fine. And Camps may have a really good reason, but we won't know.
Yeah, we won't know yet.
You ought to bring her down to Birmingham, mate. The local hospital's got award-winning maternity unit.
What, like a live unbirthing during the Bash?
Yeah, no, and if it gets born in Birmingham, then it'll have a shit accent for the rest of its life.
A live unbirthing, that is amazing.
Let's not do that.
I did say to Camps, if she drops tonight on the show, I'm buying all his nappies for the next year.
Look at all these cords.
Most definitely. It is Bash weekend next weekend. This time next weekend, we will be drinking and eating over at the Kismet and having the best curry in the world and drinking beer. And then Saturday, we go to the Bash. Starts at 11 o'clock at the Link. And that goes through till sort of 9 o'clock. We'll have a curry afterwards, maybe. And then Sunday morning, all around my place for bacon sandwiches. It should be a wonderful, wonderful weekend. What are we going to do with the shows, you're asking? Well, we're going to do the big show on Thursday night at 8 p.m. and then we're going to do a Mac show at 3 p.m. on the Friday. So if you want to come to the studio, then you can do, and you can sit in and you can be mic'd up and you can sit and listen to the feeds and all that kind of stuff and watch the show and have a beer and get ready for the curry, which will start at 5 o'clock. There we go. And we'll have a live panellist there because Patrice is going to be here. 12
yes.
o'clock, he flies in.
Yes, I will fly in on Friday around noon. I will be in Birmingham. So I have a crazy week ahead of me because I have a business trip to Italy, southern part of Italy, next week, 4 days. I come back Thursday and Friday I leave again.
So are you flying in on a German airline or an Italian airline?
Yes. It will be a German airline.
Well, it'll be on time then, won't it? Christ.
Yes.
The one thing I found out about German railways is they're always on time. When I stood on the wrong platform watching my train leaving Dusseldorf. And I worked out what the word Gleis meant then as well. Because I was on the wrong Gleis. I'm looking forward to it, mate. It's going to be awesome. I'll pick you up from the airport. I'll bring you here and you can do the Mac Show here live. And we can have loads and loads of fun.
That will be great.
Doc is looking half asleep, mate. Again, what's up with you, mate? Are you just bored with all this Bash chat?
You do realize it's early in the morning over here.
Hour.
So there's that. And then, I'm just answering F-tards on Facebook while I was waiting for you to announce me.
Not that you're not interested in taking part in the show or anything, no.
No, of course, of course. No. I can't get on the plane this weekend. I have things to do, so I'm just like waiting my turn like a nice person, and I get in trouble.
Are you still
if I interrupt, then you say I'm being a douchebag. Make up your mind.
You're still doing your 1,000 bottles, mate?
You're still going. God is driving me insane. If I have to stare at another blue bottle, I swear I want to throw that crap across the room.
What are you doing? Like,
but
3 a week.
I don't want to be too mad at it. No, I'm running through about 300 a week. So yeah, I'm trying not to be mad at it though because it was a pretty big order, and it's giving me enough to buy a new Mac. Now I just need Apple to release a new Mac.
Yeah. Someone with a very valid reason for not coming to the bash. But he's gutted. He's tearful. You can see the look closely. You can see the tears welling up in his eyes. It's righty boy. How you doing, man?
Mate, I listened to the Mac show today, and you were talking about the bash, and I sat there and I was like, I am properly gutted.
Did your bottom lip go?
Bottom lip, bottom. Just generally, my bottom went.
Your bottom went.
Yeah. Just generally, I've not missed a bash in 4 years, and.
You haven't missed a bash. Did you come? You came to the very first one, didn't you?
No, I came to the second.
The one that rained, the
deluge at your house.
Yeah. Okay.
This is my last outing with my daughter before she's a teenager and doesn't talk to me. So that's why I'm not coming. I am mortified. It took actually 3 weeks for me to get over the fact that I wasn't coming to the bash.
Still, don't worry, mate. We'll raise a glass to you, and we've got an alternate bash weekend organised, haven't we?
Yeah, you got Jim's coming, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He is, just to rub salt in your wound.
But, yeah, no, he did that. He did that on Wednesday, bastard.
Yeah, but he's going to come back with a care package for you, so it won't be too bad.
Okay.
All right, mate.
Okay. Fine.
And last but by no means least, baby boy.
Evening.
Your wife, mate, is struggling to get through doorways now. Your baby's what? How long overdue?
6 days overdue. Six days overdue. The midwife in the hospital have told us if it doesn't come tonight, it is coming tomorrow.
Oh, right. That's good.
Wow.
So, apologies if my phone rings and it's her downstairs saying, get down here now. I'll be dropping the line and running.
Yeah, no. Congratulations for tomorrow, mate, then.
Thank you.
I don't have to do it now.
Cabs, what's your phone number?
Yeah. What, online?
No. All he's going to do is send you a text with, no, it's now, yeah. And you won't look at who it's from.
No.
You'll just go, no, it's now, and the wife's sitting there watching Coronation Street going, what?
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's all good. It's all baby talk in our house right now.
Yeah, no. That's it. If you go into the bash, get yourself a ticket. Last chance to get a ticket is tomorrow and the start of the week. As soon as they come out, we'll get them, don't worry. I have sent them out, so if you haven't got one, give me a shout. And I can't remember what I covered in the first half before we actually realised there was no audio. So if I haven't said enough, then I haven't said enough. Don't be turning up on the day because I'm afraid, you should have bought a ticket. There you go. I've said it. This is the Big Mac Show, so therefore, everything is on offer. You can have any story you like, including Apple. Who wants the bags Pokemon Go then?
Me.
Well, it wasn't going to be Alan. How's Pokemon Go going for you on the Windows platform, Alan?
It's fantastic. It's not available to me. That's great.
Go on then, righty boy. Tell us what you got.
Can I take it, really?
Go on, take Pokemon Go.
So...
You fanboy.
No, it's not a fanboy thing. It really isn't. We have spent the last, I don't know, 2 years, 3 years dissing Nintendo for all the crap that they've sat there. And they've not done anything, have they?
Yeah, no.
Have they totally done this, though?
Well, no. Well, no, this is the thing, because it's an avalanche now.
But it's not... It's gone through another development studio as well, hasn't it? It's not really...
Well, it's Nintendo, really. It's Google, it's the company that Google are signed up with and all those sort of things. But if you look at it more... if you look at the facts... their share price raised by 70%. They're the biggest. They're the highest they've been for 70 years, 30 years. And off the back of that, and no, if you remember, we've always said Nintendo have a back catalogue of really good games, really good experiences.
Which they still haven't published.
Sorry?
Which they still haven't published.
No, but this is the start because... Nintendo
I don't know
Go
it
comes,
is.
No, Pokemon Go comes out really well, and this week you get the release of the NES Micro Edition.
Oh, that's my story, Paul. So move on. Just stick to Pokemon.
Yeah. Don't be tramping on the pregnant boy's feet.
Well, if we're to go, okay, go to a different line. Nintendo actually realised that they have a back catalogue of decent stuff that they can actually sell.
Maybe.
Because they really do.
stick to Pokemon Go. What's good about Pokemon Go? Because I think it's a pile.
Well, we had some arguments on the Slack, didn't we?
Go on. Jack's got me into it because he had a go with the... I mean, the second it came out and Wheaters tweeted, it's out in the UK, he was downloading it in the car on the way to where we were going. And I have it now because he talked me into it over a sushi lunch. And it's kind of cool that it uses Google Maps. And it is kind of cool that there's loads of points of reference that have come from Google Maps. So if the studio was in Google Maps, we'd be here. But there is absolutely... the sod all here. Here's me at BTNHQ at night, and there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing.
You can request things near you.
Well, I can't. I can spin that around, and I've got like a superstation at the Bradford pub. And
got a gym, yeah.
Look at that. There's absolutely fudge all around me.
And I think that's I'm just looking on my phone now to see if there's anything near me at the minute. I think Pokemon Go is going to be one of the things where initially it sets off, and obviously we've seen it basically go boom. I think it's going to have a really, really short sort of a peak in interest. And I think as soon as, I mean, I'm on my phone there, and yeah, just like you, absolutely nothing in my local area at all.
Camps are bigger than me, but I'm going to disagree with you.
I think what's going to happen is I think the kids are going to want it. They're going to download it straight away. And then as soon as parents say, no, you're not going all the way across the field, down the road, up the street to look for that, put that Pokemon, the kids are going to get bored because the parents are not going to let them go out and trample all over the place looking for them. I think it will be, it'll strike, people will play it for a couple of weeks, and then it'll drop off totally.
See, that's the point. Hang on a second.
But their parents need to let them go out and trample all over the place. It's one of the best things I've seen so far. Yes. As I'm cruising the parks in Honolulu, I see thousands of people in Ala Moana Beach Park now for something other than weddings or 4th of July or things like that. Like, the park is full. It's kind of amazing and kind of irritating as a cyclist who's used to having the park to myself. But it is amazing to see so many people out activated. And they're not just wearing clothes. People have switched into their exercise gear to chase Pokemon. So for fat Americans around, I love you, Nintendo.
And I think if it's still like that in a month's time, Doc, brilliant. I just don't think it will be like that in a month's time, unless they're new players.
I mean, as with any game, it will find its audience, probably a niche, and the other people will move on. I mean, that's basically how every popular game works. It's played for a while. I mean, with for some exceptions like Candy Crush, it's played for a while, and then it gets out of fashion, and something else comes in.
I agree, it's probably going to be a peak. It's going to be really interesting to see how long a sort of tail it's got on it. Its initial stats in the US, they were saying 65 million users in the US within 7 days, which is apparently more than the number of US Twitter users. And I was going, rumors that Nintendo were making $2 million a day through it before it sort of rolled out more internationally. And then, you're just going, wow, that's definitely a craze, and I've loved seeing some of the crazy Daily Mail articles coming up with every single reason why Pokemon Go is, the new worst thing that's happened to society, and obviously they're bringing out all the stories of, paedophiles are setting down lures to lure people into things they've got a smartphone and blah blah blah, a boy in London, teenager in London, walked out between two buses and was hit by a motorbike, not seriously injured thankfully, but apparently he was playing Pokemon Go at the time. And there's going to be loads of stories like that, but if you're an idiot and you're just looking at your phone all the time and not paying attention to your surroundings, I don't think that's necessarily much different than most people were already doing on their smartphone and not looking at where they were going enough.
Fundamental problem. Most parents don't let the kids out anymore.
Yep.
They take them to places. So
there's actually a word in Germany that basically signifies that. It's smombie. So a combination of smartphone and zombie. I don't know why, but this is the world of the year this year here.
Yeah.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Ewan, and that's for me why I think a lot of kids will get bored with it fairly quickly, because parents just don't let the kids go out and roam, and that's exactly the purpose of this game. And it's, and on that basis, it's not a morning motion game. It's not a game that you can just pick up for sort of 15, 20 minutes here and there. It's something that you're out for an hour. And I'd love to see to sort of meet Doc's point, from an exercise perspective, I'd love to see this take off, and I think it will for some. I think a lot of kids will get bored with it too quick because parents, just like I say, don't like kids roam anymore.
Well, it's an age thing. I've got a daughter who's turning nearly 14. I've got to let her out in the world. She wants to do what she wants to do. She wants to play Pokemon Go out in the world. She should be allowed to do it.
I'm not saying she shouldn't, but what I'm saying is, one of the problems that they've got is kids don't let their parents don't let their kids out. They take them to places. And once you get over 20 miles an hour, it cuts all your stuff off, doesn't it? So it makes you want to walk. It's to try and get you to do fitness. And I agree with Doc, that's a really good thing. If I walk my 5 kilometres, then my egg hatches and all that kind of stuff in the incubator. Yeah. That's all fantastic. Well done. And Jack walks to work probably about half a mile from his house. And he walked in this morning and he got 3 of the little suckers on the way over here. And that's great, but I walked 10 houses from where I work and live, and it there's nothing. There's just nothing around here, and there needs to be something that kids can do from the back garden as well. They can go out and look around the back garden in, like, you know, microcosm. Then they get out and get more interest in it, and then they'd be like satisfied and not going at the parents. Mom, can we go out geocaching-y type stuff with Pokemon Go? And the parents going, no, sit down, shut up. We only went yesterday, you know. Mm-hmm. And all that kind of stuff.
But we are like literally that far from summer holidays. This is the perfect time.
True.
Yeah.
Like, me and my daughter, before Pokemon Go, we were full geocaching. I paid for the full subscription. I did everything. That we were funneling under bridges, going up trees, God knows what, for geocaches. It's a great thing to do with your kid. Not sitting on the Xbox or anything like that, to sit there and just play games, to get out of the house, walk 2 or 3 miles and do something great. And I think actually Pokemon Go is the modern version of that.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's great.
Totally.
And I mean, if you think about it, back when Pokemon was the first time popular, or at least in my childhood, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go outside and catch some, and now I can do it, actually. I mean, now I don't care because I don't have time to play games, but back then I would have loved to do that.
Yeah. See, that's the other thing as well, is I'm too old. Because by the time Pokemon came out, my brain had developed enough to know it was complete bollocks.
you know what's funny, Ewan, you say that, because I'm like you, I agree the same thing. Like, I never was into it the first time, and again, mostly because at the time it came out, I was in Japan and I was distracted by other things at the time it originally came out. And I was in the park yesterday, and me and Jerome were riding our bikes, and then we're laughing at all the people in pods, you know, catching Pokemon. And I saw this lady, like almost 70 years old, walking across the bike path. And all of a sudden, she like did the hand in the air, yeah, and started giggling to herself. I go, so what? You caught a Pokemon? And she was like, yeah. And we both slammed the brakes on our bikes, like, like, what? Like, this old bird was playing Pokemon, and it was pretty awesome. Like, so I don't know if she got into it because of her grandkids. Like, we didn't stop because we were in the middle of our bike loop to ask her, you know, like, how we got her started. But I thought it was kind of cute, you know, that Gran is like running around the biggest park in the state trying to catch Pokemon at 7 o'clock at night. It's pretty awesome.
I mean, I thought, obviously, there's also another interesting aspect came up in terms of the sort of commercials and the disruption that this is potentially going to cause to things like Foursquare and Groupon, etc., in terms of businesses can pay to have Pokemon around their business. And apparently a New York...
They started
shop,
it here.
Yeah, sorry. A New York coffee shop says that its sales jumped 75% by activating a lure module they'd paid for to get Pokemon characters to the store.
clever.
That's clever.
Yeah, so apparently there's some potential business disruptions here. Right. And obviously, what? I mean, Foursquare, they reward you with a badge for checking into a place a lot of the time. Stuff. Well, Pokemon's rewarding you with Pokemon for being near a place, and business owners apparently are bidding to get Pokemon near their places to draw in foot traffic.
Are you about to do some one-handed typing or something, right? Are you showing us your Transformers T-shirt?
Yeah, sorry. You know what I'm hoping for? That this also triggers some
a rogue person.
And some change in the augmented reality space, that other developers or other people see this and see the potential that it lies within augmented reality, and they come up with cool new ideas. Because so far, I mean, other than things like what's it called, Skywalk, I think, the where you can see the stars, I haven't seen too many good augmented reality apps, and this one might be one of the few that actually use it for something that makes sense.
I'm still a bit out on it. You know, I don't see the point of it. I'll play it for a little while, and then if I go anywhere, I might whip it out. And we were in the middle of Birmingham on Thursday, and when it came out, and there was loads of stuff because we were at the mailbox, so there was loads and loads of sites and statues and stuff like that to see. So, you know, we got tons and tons of Pokeballs and that kind of thing. But the thing that really pissed me off, right? I came in, we got back to the office on Thursday afternoon, and Jack and I sat here. And on the game, there was little leaves fluttering up all around us, right? Which is a sign that there's a probability of a Pokemon popping out. And we sat there and watched it for an hour till my battery was critical. And nothing came up. I was like, you bastards. You absolute bastards. If I was a child, I'd be heartbroken by now. And I was pretty pissed off, and I went, oh.
I've seen an article on that this week as well, Ewan, about apparently data usage is really heavy in terms of the game. So a few warnings in terms of if you've now got unlimited data, then obviously you need to watch what you're using. That's an article today that T-Mobile have jumped straight on that. And I think it's as part of their weekly deals. There's for anybody who's a T-Mobile user, I think it's mainly in the US, I believe, you can activate the free data for any Pokemon Go app usage.
Oh, yeah. T-Mobile announced that.
Yeah.
I saw this really funny post because I made this wisecrack the other day about one of my friends who is kind of an Uber nerd, and I made this wisecrack that he's going to finally have some bird at his house. He's going to be ready to smash, and then all of a sudden the Pokemon's going to show up and he's going to stop what he's doing. So I was totally cracking this as a joke, and I swear the next day somebody texted me a picture of some lady laying down in, say, a central position, and there's like a Jigglypuff and the guy is messing with the phone, and I'm like, oh, it's over. Now Pokemon Go is going to start messing up people's ability to procreate.
Yeah, there's been a few Photoshop hoaxes, hasn't there, as well? So I know.
I know it's a Photoshop hoax, but it's pretty funny though.
Someone did some really bad taste to the one of the gas Pokemons at the Holocaust Museum and stuff like that. That was uproar at that, which was
that's sick shit. So
that's not okay. There's going to be loads of those. I think there'll be. I mean, the wave of memes is probably going to hit over the weekend.
You got to say it was a pretty well-planned launch, and the amount of uptake for the initial launch was pretty incredible. So, I mean, I'll give them credit for that. And I agree with Chris. I mean, it might fizz out early, and if it does, I mean, it's still pretty amazing what they were able to do in such a short time.
Yeah, the number of servers that they could destroy.
Well, and also, you've got to think, like a lot of these games, the thing will fizzle, but if they're clever, they've got sort of next waves of content planned. And as long as you've got that initial rush of people installing the app, then likely you can send them a notification, or you get enough of a buzz that people go, oh yeah, I remember that, hang on, I'll just log back in and see what's new. So it will be interesting to see how good they can maintain it momentum.
Yep.
So the other thing to ask then is the currency and the whole in-app purchase thing, because you know the Lure module is 100 coins. How much? What's the? Because I haven't looked yet. What does 100 coins cost you, etc.?
So if you want to do it, you can pay money, But if you go to a Pokestop or a gym, flick those, flick them round, use your finger.
Yeah.
You can get, you can flick your balls for free. And get, and I knew that would get a bloody.
Oh, come on! Just tell us what the. Yeah, but I don't want to know what how to play it because I can play it. I want to know how much the frigging money costs.
So it, money-wise, you're looking at $1.99 for 10 balls. But if you go to all the places where people do the incense lures, go there, flick the little
kind the of what lures?
Incense lures.
Incest lures.
Incense.
Oh, incense lures. Right. Okay. Sorry, mate.
They're going from Norwich, bloody hell.
You said this was a game for kids, Jesus, that's not what I thought.
Right. I thought he was talking about Game of Thrones.
Talking about balls and incest.
How much for the Rolf Harris lad add-on? What's the coins? How much do the coins cost? I don't need to know how much the balls
cost.
Man,
I'm going to Google this stuff faster than Paulie.
Oh, that's the other thing. While he's doing that, I've got a new phrase. I jacked it.
Pardon?
Because when we're driving in the car now, I just say, well, Google that for me, Jack. And he Googles it. He sat there and Googles it. So now I don't Google things, I jack them. Econ Bob's fallen asleep. And I don't blame him because that's 25 minutes on Pokemon, which is not as much as messages, it has to be said.
I win.
Not as much on messages, but equally shit. we're not doing the SNES one straight away. Patrice, you did the Apple one. Put the Apple story in. So what's this about?
I think back during WWDC, Apple announced that they would release their first kind of TV show, their own production called Planet of the Apps. Not Planet of the Apes, Planet of the Apps.
Dear me.
And Apple has, I think today or yesterday, launched the website for it, planetoftheapps.com, and has also announced a few details. For one, you have until, I think, end of August, August 26 or something, to submit your app idea, and then there will be a panel. I mean, it's basically like a reality TV show or like, I don't know, I can't remember the names of the singing contest, The Voice, and so on.
X Factor.
Yeah. What you will get if you win, you will get mentorship from what Apple calls some of the world's best experts in tech and entertainment. You have the possibility, if you're in the final round, to meet top-tier VCs, investing up to 10 million over the course of the season. So 10 million in total. I think you can calculate how much you will actually get if there are, I don't know, 10 or 20 people in the final round. What Apple, I think what's really interesting or more interesting is marketing and promotion. I mean, you will be featured in the App Store. You will, of course, be featured in the show. People will see your app idea. If millions of people are seeing this, this might probably be worth more than just the VC money or the mentorship.
So have you applied?
I haven't applied because I don't think this is really for people who already have apps or who are already developers, because those people can just create the app. And if it's not something like, I don't know, Uber or something, if something where you need really a lot of money to even get started, creating apps, if it's just you, it's really, really cheap.
So here's the real question for everyone to think about. Is this going to be really, really cool, or is this going to be naff shit? Because so far with that description, Patrice, and that's not your description that I'm suggesting, but there's a lot of naff stuff going on. Like, well, we're copying this format, we're going to do these things. Yeah, okay, there's money being put in, and there's people there, and there's venture capital for it. But it's just a naff idea. Yeah.
I think it'll be awesome, and I'll tell you why. When I first used to watch Dragon's Den over the pond through, you know, various ways, I always thought this is a great show and this would be really cool for America and it might spark some stuff. There is a thing amongst like the entrepreneurial community, and I run Craftsfair here in Honolulu Night Market. You guys always see me post about it. It's kind of a really, really large craft fair that I've been putting on for about 4 years now. The metric crap ton of people that think that they're going to get something that's going to eventually actually get them to Shark Tank, which is our version of Dragon's Den, is amazing. So it put people back in the garage. It put people back to tinkering, the Kickstarter movement and all of this makers movement, makers going to make, you know, kind of thing. It's blowing up pretty big right now. So I think in a way, they might find the next really cool app by putting it out there, because there's people that have great ideas that just don't even know what to do. Like people like Patrice and I, we'll go and playground in our Swift all we want, but there's probably somebody out there that has that one epic app. Like, I still want to be able to buy you guys a pint from here, and nobody's invented that app yet. I want to know that you guys are out watching rugby and, you know, Steven, you and I at the bar somewhere drinking up. And I'm like, you know what? My mates are at a pub somewhere on the opposite side of the planet. I love these cats, even though Steve likes to drive me nuts sometimes. Let me buy them a pint. That app still doesn't exist, and it's been pissing me off forever. So, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, US Birthday pops up, and I forgot. I just found it on Facebook. Bam, let me get this dude a McCallican. I can't even speak now. Anyway, order him a whiskey or some shit, you know? That's impossible. So, I don't know. I think we might see something great if it can come off Shark Tank or Dragon's Den-esque.
I'm pretty sure we might see something interesting, and it might also be interesting for people who are not developers to see how the process works, because I think one of the FAQ things on this site is you don't have to be a developer right now. You can really sign up and say, I have a great idea, I have no freaking idea how to do it, and Apple will help you with that.
I agree, Patrice. I think the part of the platform here is to inspire people who they're not developers right now. But actually, they have a look. I think that's really something I want to get into. I'm sure that Apple are going to use this to offshoot probably Playground and a variety of other Apple content in terms of just learning how to dev.
Will this be interesting? I don't know. I mean,
it's not entertainment, is it?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what it comes down to. Is this really entertaining? I mean, as with any reality TV show, you have to find contestants that are just crazy or that are interesting and that, yeah, will be interesting.
Well, if you watch Shark Tank, there are a lot of apps that do come across that show. I'm sure Dragon's Den is probably the same. There's a lot of people that come up with apps for that show. So I think it could be entertaining if it's done right. It really depends on who they get to help them tell the story.
Yeah.
You're just going to see the panel of judges sat there and Peter Jones is going to say, well, it was a good application, but my legs went numb. It's too long.
One of the things I can't see here is what the format is. Is it going to be somebody sits in front of a panel and shows them, or is it going to tell the story of how somebody got into developing, where the idea was born from, and basically follow that app through from sort of conception to probably, I don't know, maybe beta, or is it going to be a panel show? Because I think that's going to be fundamental to how successful it is.
As far as I've heard, it's a panel show.
I was just thinking Cabby's got the baby on the brain, because he's conception through to birth of the
application. Yeah, that's too true. Next.
I don't know. I'll keep an open mind rather than being negative about it before we start. But yeah. There are some caveats to it being good, I think. Have to wait and see. Doc, you have the next story. Go on.
It turns out that on his way out, Obama's possibly, I like the President Obama, I'll fix that, would like to possibly have a good swan song on the way out. So they're launching an initiative to research 5G wireless networks. Leave it to the government to name it NSF, which is almost like not safe for work. Like, I don't think somebody told him that's too close to what most people will use the 5G for.
Maybe it's based on his love of Mr. T, not safe for work.
Anyway, so there's an advanced wireless research initiative. They're going to be kicking it off. They're going to dump about $400 million into this project. The press release is on whitehouse.gov. But I think it's really cool to see now that, you know, Spectrum is starting to get re-released, because we're rejiggering things around that, you know, they are finding a cool way to make internet speeds a lot faster, especially for the mobile environments, which would do a lot for transactions and commerce and, you know, wayfinding. Wayfinding through phones is amazing, but the biggest problem is many times the connection isn't so solid. So I think this is a really cool story, and hopefully our government doesn't screw this up.
I was going to say, my only worry here is, you know, 5G would work a lot better if it is an international standard. If they're giving them that much money, aren't they going to be tempted to come up with their own US standard?
Nah, I think we have always been very good about, you know, well, as far as wireless and things like that go, we've always been good about trying to globalize it for no other reason than many of our biggest business, the idiots who pay the politicians, do lots of business internationally, so they will true benefit from this as well.
Yeah.
US is the one that always have to have different phones than everyone else in the world because they've got different bands. I mean, I know Verizon is another.
It's going away now, thank God.
Yeah, but it took a long time. I mean, it was 4G, as you said, different bands, and then we needed different chipsets and all of that. So it was the same standard, but that didn't help much.
It does say in the thing that they are working with the Academy of Finland, and I forgot the other company. Well, here's the funny thing. The biggest workshop is a place called the Communities of Patrice.
What?
I swear to you, read this. I put the press release in the thing. And so as you look for it, there is a large networking platform called the Communities of Patrice Workshop to gather international expertise and best practices so that they can successfully guide the advanced wireless research testing platform that's being announced today. Good on you, Patrice. Good man.
You should invite me.
Is this going to be... is this going to be anything like the bandwidth wars of 3G and 4G, where, you know, there's a bandwidth auction, etc.?
I think not, because one of the things that I think we've discovered is looking at the wireless system in Japan and Korea. I think what happened is a lot of tech people went to the government during the president, current POTUS's administration, and go, this is where the U.S. is falling behind. You already let us fall behind in manufacturing by getting all the jobs shipped to overseas. Let's not do that with our tech job. Let's fortify our techs. Let's stop this blatant commercialism that's A, slowing down the progress, and B, causing a brain leak, if you will, meaning that allowing like all of our best technologies to be basically imported versus exported. So there's been a huge conversation on the back end, but it's not fancy, so the media doesn't really talk about it, about trying to sort of lift up this, you know, it's like the when the president went to go do coding with kids in schools. Like, so there's been a big initiative to get back to teaching tech and advancing some of the technologies and trying to be a little bit more global as far as that goes.
Does anyone know where the text pings are coming from?
Not mine, I've just been checking.
It's not here. So, I don't know.
Mine is muted.
No. Mm-hmm. The thing that bothers me is that with a lot of this bandwidth stuff, and the problem we had in the UK was the 3G bandwidth auction, or band frequency band auction that went on. They all bidded over each other and they put stupid money in. And then the customers all had to pay for that in the end, so they gouged us. Yes. The last lot with the 4G stuff, they all got together and said, what are you bidding, I reckon? And they put in bids that were stupidly low. So the government's rubbing its hands because all of these sealed bids are coming in. And when they open them, it was like they'd open a packet of shit, you know, that was flaming on the doorstep. And the 3G providers still gouged us with 4G. Because they still took the same money and worse than they previously did, yet they were paying less than a fifth of what they'd paid for the original 3G network. And this is going to be the same kind of thing. Well, you know, oh, it's new technology, therefore. And if there is that free rollout, there's got to be an ombudsman of some description, or there's got to be an Ofcom type, but better than Ofcom, because they actually need some teeth, to actually go out there and say, right, if we're giving you this free, you are going to reduce your prices. You are going to give this to the people at a reasonable price.
Mm-hmm. In Germany with 4G, it was a little bit different. I mean, there was also this talks, you know, these talks going on. The government also had some requirements. They said, okay, we give you 4G a little bit cheaper, but you have to build it or install it in the rural areas first, so those people can get even fast internet speeds because DSL is not available there. So that was going on. And something that I don't know whether that's happening for you guys in Germany, all the carriers are now basically starting to work together, so you can use the network of whatever carrier you have or whatever carrier is available, because it doesn't really matter anymore. And I think that might actually be going on also with 5G, that it doesn't matter whether it's Deutsche Telekom or O2 or whatever, because you just use what is the strongest right now and what is the best right now.
I think that would be really, really awesome. It would be a cool way. I think we're getting to the point where it needs to somewhat be like the television airways were in the original days. And it would be really nice to know that when you drove somewhere out of your network, if a complimentary network could just pick you up, if nothing more than just the safety of knowing that, you know, my family was traveling and they were out in the middle of Minnesota, don't you know, that like their network would totally just switch over to the right thing and allow them to make emergency calls, call the AAA or whomever, versus like, oh, well, you're out of this network, and because you don't pay us, even though this one is strong, you have to sat there on a freeway with a flat tire in the freezing cold because you're not paying Verizon instead of AT&T. Like, that kind of stuff needs to go away, and I would love to see something like this bring to fruition and find a better way. That old roaming data thing, that's kind of played out. We need to find a better way to allow this, you know, crossing of the bridges, if you will.
Yeah. I know in the UK they have been talking for a while about a sort of actual legal requirement that your mobile in the UK can roam onto any other network. But the bit that they've sort of done to avoid upsetting the mobile networks is they've said, but 2G signal. So they're only going to put in law. The plan was to actually mean that you'd hop automatically onto another network's 2G signal if you're not near your own network. So, I mean, that means you can get the emergency calls and you can get the texts, and it's all part of your plan. It's not roaming, but, you know, you're going to be, you're not going to be tempted to do a lot of data when you're not on your own network.
Mm. There you go. That works. But they hoard data like it's going to kill their networks. You know, over here, still yet, like even the bandwidth caps and all of that. I've talked to some of the what they call theoretical network scientists at the University of Hawaii, and they're like, with all of the companies that we have, there's no way near tapping the bandwidth cap. But these guys are holding it down so tightly because they think that if they left it wide open, that people would bog the network. And he's like, mathematically, I don't think that's a possibility with the amount of people that we have on our networks here.
Well, to be fair, though, I think the problem, ironically, it's not actually the wireless bit. A lot of the time, the problem has been the backhaul from the mast has been a pretty rubbishy connection back to the main network. And so that's often actually the bottleneck. I think with 4G... In the UK, there's been a lot of investment for a lot better backhaul.
But that doesn't matter for the data cap as much, because, I mean, there's only as much available, and wireless and the backhaul is a shared medium. So if a lot of people are using it and a lot of people are sending a lot of data, then nobody gets much. So it doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with the data cap, because that just caps how much you can send in total. And that hasn't increased that much.
I think that, you know, that they sell, you know, that our network is fast, and the way they can keep it fast is by trying to avoid lots of people using it all the time. And, you know, they want people to keep using the Wi-Fi. It's not their problem then, the data.
Yeah, that's true.
So basically, the whole internet should just be run by UK too, and we don't have any of these damn problems.
True.
Yeah. Blimey. Right, who's next? Camps, go on, do your SNES thing, go on then.
Yeah, so for those people who are not playing Pokemon Go and don't want to be out there, just want to sit in front of the telly box playing some retro games, Nintendo are releasing a NES Mini. So this is obviously the hugely popular NES console. It's going to be released in November, priced at $60, and it's going to come pre-installed with 30 of the classics. So you've got your Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, 3, Zelda, Final Fantasy, Donkey Kong, Castlevania. They all come pre-installed on this device, and just before Christmas and the holiday season as well. So I think this is a bit of a home run, personally, for Nintendo. I think if this is why they've been holding off putting their games out on the Android, Windows, iOS platforms, then I'm not sure it's as much of a as a money spinner of that. But if Nintendo are continuing down the route that they seem to be obsessed with, which is they create their hardware and they put their games out up until obviously the recent iOS devices, then actually for $60, I think this is a pretty good price point for this sort of device. HDMI cable straight out of the back into your TV, 60, good to go.
$60 for a 35-year-old game.
It is, but they're the classics, aren't they? And if I think if people are wanting to play the classics, where else are they playing them unless they're digging Maybe. Out their 20-year-old console, or they're playing them on a Wii, and even the individual games for the Wii are still sort of 20, 30 quid each.
I think the nerds don't really care about this story because everybody knows how to do lame, but for everybody else, this is a cool thing.
I think it's going to be a very popular Christmas stocking, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of parents who also have the Super Nintendo nostalgia will spot it and go, all right, okay, 50 quid, 30 games,
I think you're right. I can just see Christmas morning, you know, parents saying to the kids, that's not a game. This is a game. Get this out of the box. Get this on the TV, and let's have a few hours on Super Mario.
It'll be a cool way to get your kids to play stuff that you played, just to show them that you're not a total Luddite and you used to play video games, and check what Daddy roll on Donkey Kong real quick. I would buy this for Emma just to show her what I grew up with.
Wasn't there that kind of there was a thing that was like an emulator. You bought it and it was a hand control, and you just plugged it straight into the TV or a.
Yeah,
and that had like, I don't know if it had Nintendo games on. Maybe the bootleg ones had Nintendo games on. It was like an emulator. But
yeah.
Don't get me wrong. If these games were available on Apple TV, I would buy them like a shot. But the key point is they're not. And for $60 to have a small unit that can go under your TV, and they're all there to play, nice and quick.
So how much would you pay for those 30 games if they were released individually on iOS?
And I think that's a key point, because they were probably in the main, certainly the Donkey Kongs, the Marios, the Zeldas, they're going to be at least $4.99 each as a minimum. So you're talking $30-$40 just for, well, less than half a dozen games there.
I mean, there's probably quite a few games here that you're not going to want as well, though, ain't there?
So, probably.
But there's Metroid. I give them 5 bones for Metroid.
I reckon that there would easily be $50 there in games. There's probably 10 of that 30 that I would pay $5 each for.
I do like, to be fair, that they have at least made sure that they're rewarding some of their more ardent fans in terms of you can use Wii U or Wii console controllers, supposedly. So if you need the second controller, you don't have to buy a second controller. You can reuse your Nintendo recent controllers.
That's cool.
That's a nice thing. But yeah.
But Ewan's right. There are a bunch of these like knockoff consoles that have been out for decades now and that do this. Someone gave me to fix a while back a thing that looked like an Atari controller. And it had like 200 plus Atari games built in. And all you do is plug it into the telly, into the composite port, which I find hard to find on a lot of TVs nowadays. Yes. But I think my friend bought this thing for like $19 at the Chinatown Alley. And then there's another one that looks like a original NES controller, and it has a bunch of games in it. And again, this is all bootleg, but these bootleg versions have been around for quite a while. And we've been doing lame on computers, God, since I was in college.
I just think this smacks of control freak. There's someone at Nintendo is saying no, we've got to keep control of hardware and software. We can't have the software getting out on its own on a different platform. It's got to be on our hardware. And even though they're making solid all on the hardware, probably it just smacks of a control freak rather than someone who's got a business brain and saying, right, let's push it out there, let's rake it in.
I 100% agree, Ewan. We've talked on this show loads of times now. If Nintendo just said, right, here is your top 15, your top 20 titles, we're putting them all on the App Store at, you know, $5 each, we're going to do a few bundles, off you go. They would be down, the downloads would just go off the scale. Mario would be flying off. If you put that on your iOS devices, you put that on Apple TV, you know, it'd be flying out. Everybody would be buying it. So from a business model point of view, you know, releasing it into the mobile platforms absolutely is the money spinner. But Nintendo seem obsessed with keeping it on their own hardware, so...
Cam's just so right. Mario would make Angry Birds look like Chinese checkers. I mean, they would just blast it, and then they would set numbers or records of sales that would just skyrocket.
I think the only thing with that is they've got to be careful, because if they shut Mario out there and it's $10, I think they get a lot of criticism for that. It's going to have to be a no-brainer price, if you like, where you'd go, yeah, stuff it. Like you say, $5, yeah, check for $5, $3.99, no problem, have it. To play Mario again, I'd love to. But if they try and gouge, I think that could backfire on them quite badly.
I think that they do, you know, but they're doing the sort of Disney thing, you know, where Disney always used to only allow you to buy their DVDs and their Blu-rays for certain periods of time and stuff. So they do believe, you know, that their product is made of gold, and therefore, you know, they're going to preserve exclusivity to artificially inflate the price.
I think
this product is great because nostalgia, and it's perfectly timed for Christmas coming out in November. I think it will make them a shed load of money, and they can probably say Nintendo sold the most consoles at Christmas this year. But
for the first time in 30 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Muller Biker in the chat has put, more hardware, not off HDMI ports. I'm going to send him a link on Amazon for an auto switcher for HDMI, and it's going to revolutionise his life. They do work properly. I've got one at home. It works brilliantly, and it's got remote control as well, so you can manually
switch. For Muller, nothing works. Plex doesn't work. HDMI ports don't work.
How can Plex not work for someone?
I don't know.
Never worked for Greeny. who has another story yet?
Yeah, Alan.
Alan, tell us, mate.
I did put it in the chat room. It's actually, do need to apologise slightly because it is a video. And it's also got a golf theme to it, which I never thought I'd be responsible for. But there was a really cool, at the Microsoft Worldwide Partner Conference, brought that just in case there was too much Apple this time. There was actually a really impressive demo of the Microsoft HoloLens being used basically with the PGA golf tour, and they brought up on stage this full 3D augmented reality golf course, and they literally then were showing it how they would use HoloLens for effectively data visualization. So they were showing you could bring up sort of heat maps of where everyone's balls had actually landed between shots, but then you could also pick a particular, say, one or two players, and then it would actually show you, because the golf balls have actually all got tracking in them now, where exactly the arcs that had gone through for every shot from the start to in the hole. And it was just, you know, it really did seem, this is one of those weird things I would never have thought of, but it looked really awesome. So I would recommend people have a watch of the video and realize that this is what Microsoft's talking in terms of, and Microsoft is initially looking at HoloLens in terms of more business and niche usages. But I think it also really sells the idea of augmented reality, which obviously all of us are interested in, and, you know, maybe there's, you know, this tension between VR, AR, and are they going to merge, or how much competition is there between the two, sort of thing. Obviously, Pokemon Go, I think, may really sort of open quite a lot of people's eyes outside of the techie circles to augmented reality and superimposing things on the real world, in that it's, see, nowhere near the sort of sophistication of HoloLens. But I just think it's a real sort of, it's someone showing real world applications of these things. And I know that there's been a lot of buzz and stuff with luxury car manufacturers are very keen to sort of get you into their showrooms, put on a HoloLens, and then you will actually be able to construct and choose all your materials for your car and walk around your car before you place the order for your custom vehicle. So you'll be able to see, you know, your internal material choices, see your colour choices, all of those sort of things.
I'm sorry, Alan, to be a bit of a devil's advocate here, but was this just more graphics or was this something that actually worked?
No, this one was actually using, was imported, all imported live, data, and so was apparently the real deal, captured from the recent tournament on that golf course and reassembled. And it was supposedly, I think they said it was a small team in a short number of weeks as well. They did mention it in the video. I think it was a team of 8 in a similar number of weeks development, put this together. So I thought that was quite impressive, bringing together, you know, obviously real data, Bing maps, 3D mapping, and then all the data visualization, and then, bringing it in a way that I think is probably a lot more intuitive and makes it feel realer if you are looking it through stereoscopic glasses. Yeah. So you can actually properly perceive the depth that you're getting from the 3D ball arc representations and overlays, rather than, you know, if you were trying to see this on in a computer on a monitor, it'd still be impressive, but I don't think it would have that impact, and it doesn't really let you on a flat monitor get that depth perception that obviously human stereo eyes are really good at.
Okay, any comments from anyone?
I think it would be awesome for a whole bunch of different sports. They've tried similar things with to show hockey arcs here in the U.S. Like when someone slaps a puck, they have a tracer so that you can see the movement in the puck, because it kind of moves too fast for people who don't follow hockey a lot. I've also been seeing it in when we had the last World Cup thing going on for the Women's World Cup. They were showing ball arcs from kicks and whatnot. So I think this would be a cool way to do a lot of stuff with sports. And it's interesting for the person sitting at home that is trying to learn, you know, the techniques and whatnot. So I can see where this could come into play. It's just Microsoft has a tendency to do weird stuff at weird times. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, their R&D department is classic R&D. I mean, it is stuff that is batshit crazy at times, and other stuff that's just holy crap, wow. But the thing that always frustrates me about all of these kind of things is when it actually, you know, when's it coming? You know, Oculus Rift.
Well, for
Christ's sake, I know we've all had a go on it at last year's bash, but that was a year ago next week. Well, that was a year ago last week, actually. And where is it? It's been 2 years now.
The developer kit is $3,000 if you want to buy one, because we thought about buying one. It's crazy.
Obviously, no one's bought it then, because they still haven't got anything for sale, for Christ's sake. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
I'm sorry, there's got to be a cut-off, boys. There really has. There's got to be a point where you just say, you know, release the damn thing, for Christ's sake.
Well, no, I say...
Use it or kill it.
You know, say they are having trouble keeping up with, you know, demand and manufacturing for it at the moment as a developer kit, so they can't. And, you know, if it's going to have to be $3,000 at the moment, because remember, the HoloLens is an entire... The HoloLens is an entire untethered PC and battery.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, an Oculus, which is, you know, mostly a set of screens slapped to your face sort of thing, and then the equivalent of probably $3,000 PC powering it, you know, across the room sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, how long have we been waiting for VR? To finally sort of make thing, and
30 years.
Yeah. I remember going into the arcade and sitting at a one that had a flight simulator where you put a helmet on as a teenager.
Yeah.
And of course that was broken the next time I went back to the arcade, because someone had gone and broken one of the cables to the headset.
But some people who started waiting for VR when it first came out have got grandchildren now.
Okay, so you know what's kind of, it was weird to me. I don't know if it's weird or what's kind of odd to me. The two people who could probably move this really, really fast are Apple and Samsung, and they're kind of like barely touching it. You know what I'm saying?
Why?
Like, at this point in time, I mean, Samsung VR is there, but it's intended to sell stuff to make you stick a phone in your face. It's not really intended to be like what Microsoft is still holding on to, the original dream that we all had as kids, as you just spoke of. So why is it that the two biggest giants as far as building stuff are still kind of laissez-faire when it comes to this movement?
Why do you think those two are the best to do it?
Proven track record. The stuff that they've been able to release over the last, let's call it almost 10 years with the iPhone next June. Their just research development, their scientists, the talent that they have on board. I mean, yeah, that's why. Hmm. Why do you think they're not smarter?
I was just asking because you said those two are the ones that can do it. And I just was wondering why you think those two are most, I mean,
I could be completely out of my mind because it also can be proven that you can't just throw money at problems and fix it sometimes too, because Microsoft does have money, but they're not cranking the kind of resources that App and Sammy are doing. So, you know, who knows, man, if the fruit basket in South Korea ain't touching it, then there's probably a good reason why.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, it's interesting the sort of extra places that things are creeping in, such as, I'm looking forward to trying out the revamped Air roller coaster at Alton Towers when that goes VR. And obviously a lot of roller coasters are getting the virtual reality headset treatment now, which seems quite a great place to put VR, to be honest, because one of the advantages is because you're moving on the roller coaster and they sync the visuals, the idea is actually you'll be less prone to motion sickness because you are moving with what you're seeing inside your head. So I think that's going to be an interesting niche expansion one. That's coming. As I say, there's already quite a few VR.
No, I was just thinking of what you're saying. Sounds like Paul on the weekends. He's moving is matching what's going on in his head.
And then, other ones in terms of if you want to get to see HoloLens, I think one of the most awesome places soon is they're going to be opening a HoloLens-driven Mars experience complete with a digitized Buzz Aldrin at the Kennedy Space Center soon. That I would like to use HoloLens to walk on Mars at the Kennedy Space Center. Yeah. That sounds like a trip worth doing.
I think we'll actually be able to go to Mars and walk there before Microsoft releases anything. I really want HoloLens to work, though. I mean, all jokes aside, I really want it to work. I want it to come out, and if nothing more than just to spark everybody else to get off their cuff and do their thing, because I think it has a possibility to be awesome.
Yeah, no.
I think we've all learned not to hold our breath in how fast VR or AR is going to make it. But it does feel like, it does feel like we're finally getting closer. And something's got to burst through the dam sooner or later. There's a lot of leaks in the dam now. Little bits of VR and AR. As I say, in Pokemon Go, there you go. It's basic, but it's a bit of AR out in the world. Mm-hmm. Lots of people experiencing. It's probably most people's first experience of AR on their phone.
Yeah.
To be honest.
What's this about your missus being banned from the chat room, Alan?
I never said anything like that.
She's put a tweet out. It says, I've got banned from the chat room as a distraction. And she's put her bra back on. Tell her to get herself a camera.
I told her she had to make sure that she wasn't the one causing the bings on the line.
No, I don't know who was causing that. It's all stopped now. But
it wasn't her.
I don't know. I don't know who caused that. I have no idea what happened there. Camps has got some connection issues. Right?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're in, right.
I don't know why the video's not coming through.
Just got no video from you. Right, he's lost his connection. It's all gone belly up, mate. I've got no idea what's going on. Hang on. I need to... Oh, this is all complicated. It's not supposed to be complicated during the show. Who do I need there? I need two. There we go. God,
two is stuck.
Two is stuck.
Hey.
This show and all the others is brought to you by UK2. We love them to bits. They're absolutely fantastic. We've got some stuff in the pipeline with them. We've been talking to their marketing department this week, and we've got a few things that we're going to do, potentially, in the offing. So if you have anything with the web, so co-location services, VPS, VPN, dedicated servers, shared servers, domain names, anything you like that, go to UK2 because they support us, and you're supporting this network by buying what you get from UK2. And they're very happy with the business that they get from us, and we're very happy to have them supporting us because it doesn't cost us a bean to have the server running at unlimited bandwidth and unlimited storage. There is 3 terabytes of old shows and videos, some of the crap that we've put out over the years, that you can go back and watch. And the NQL server that puts up shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, playing in the background and just picks them at random, is also supported by UK2. So please support them. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors if you want the offered codes, and go to britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 if you just want to sign into your account. And if you're on Twitter or Facebook or something like that, then give a shout out to UK2 and say thanks for supporting British Tech, because they deserve it. They've looked after us for 9 years now. 9 whole years. Unbelievable. And also thanks to Hoya, because they've helped us with the Skype wall, and they help us in general. And Mark's going to be around in a couple of weeks, I think, and say hello. If you've got any needs for spectacles, I'm wearing the Avantech lenses here. Yes, these look superb. I love them to bits. They're the best thing since sliced bread. And if you'd like one, like a pair, then write to podcast@hoya.co.uk and they'll get back in touch with you. They won't keep your name and address or anything like that. They won't give any details. They'll just use it to get in contact with you. And if at any point you go, nope, sorry, I don't want to go any further, they'll say fine, and they'll delete your username. They won't keep it for a marketing list or anything like that. And if you say, oh, actually, I'd like to give it a go and have the whole fitting experience, they'll send a salesperson to your local Hoya dealer, and you'll have an appointment there where you can either get your eyes tested or not, or you can just have a fitting. And if you get to the end of that fitting and you go, do you know what, this isn't for me, and walk away, that's fine. There's no binding implications for you or anything like that. Just off you go and say thanks very much and go your separate ways. Just check it out. Go to podcast.hoya.co.uk, send them an email and see what happens. And if you're one of the BTN fans, the armies that go out around the high street and that kind of stuff, every time you pass an optician's, look in and go, excuse me, do you stock Hoya lenses? And if they go no, go, oh, that's a shame, and carry on walking. That's all you've got to do. Nothing else. Mm-hmm. Start getting thinking. Right, time for the cool thing. Mr. Hoshel, what do you have for us as a cool thing?
I've got a video and a plea. So, video first. This is Samuel L. Jackson manages to do a 6-series summary of Game of Thrones with no nudity, but a lot of F words.
It's Samuel Jackson. That goes without saying.
Yeah.
So, is he shouting a lot?
He did manage an 8-minute summary of 6 series of Game of Thrones with no nudity. So I just, you know, I'm in awe of it, you know. It's Samuel L. Jackson doing what Samuel L. Jackson does best. It's a great edited sort of video and summary of the series. Definitely worth a watch. And my kind of recommendation or plea was actually a app. Which obviously I know has got no chance to get on anyone's phones at this point in time. But anyone who's not busy on Pokemon Go should consider heading to mapswipe.org, where there's an app for iOS and Android, basically trying to help recognize and look at satellite photography to find out where there are people who might be in need in areas that are, you know, basically have humanitarian problems, to try and help volunteers know where they should go to help where these people are that aren't very well documented or mapped, to actually, you know, help them and get volunteer and aid to them. So, you know, very worthy cause. And basically you just, you know, kind of swipe through the satellite figures, and when you see signs of habitation or people, then they just want you to tap it so that they can kind of then do some proper mapping of what is that little village lost in the middle of the rainforest, or, you know, things like that.
So you better have good eyesight then.
I think you're allowed to pan and zoom on your phone and stuff, but you know, yeah, let's see. If you want to feel, you know, doing something worthwhile and helping humanitarian causes with no cost to you and in your downtime, you can apparently even cache the satellite images, so you can do it when you've got a dodgy data connection. Worth a try.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Super. Who's next? Patrice, what have you got for us, mate?
I have a TV show, and this one actually, Müllerbacher introduced me to it. It's Mr. Robot. I think the second season is just out or came out, I think, yesterday or yesterday. The day before. Yesterday. But I started watching the first season because I had heard about it but never actually watched it. And it's about, it's really about a hacker, but it's not the usual hacker game where, or the hacker movie or TV show where he's either the great hero that saves everybody or he's the big villain that does evil things. He's a little bit of both. He's suffering from anxiety and depression. He's a morphine addict. And he's struggling even with reality. So he has all kinds of issues, social issues and all of that. But he is trying to save the world through hacking. So he's really trying to do good things with his skill. And it's just a great show. I mean, it's definitely nothing you can just watch on the side. You have to concentrate on it. I tried it. I tried to do something else, or I just did do something else and I had to start over again, because I mean, if you don't pay attention, you basically get lost in the story, because it has so many levels and it's a little bit difficult to understand at points, or at least you have to really think about things and follow things and be invested in it to really get what they're getting at. So it's not just a casual show you should watch, but it's a really, really great show so far. I'm at least I think halfway in, and it's a great show. So Mr. Robot.
I have to say, I did find it a bit boring.
You thought so?
I got to about, I think it was 8 or 7 or something like that, and I was just a bit...
Well, season 2 has explained a lot of what it did season 1.
Oh, right, okay. So season 2 helps watching season 1. Well, that's not a good thing, is it?
Well, no, because you watch some of season 1 and you go in, I don't want to spoil it, but you go in, oh, dear, and then...
Yeah.
I don't
want to
spoil it.
No, don't spoil it. I got what was going on, I think, but it just seemed to take a while to get there. If that's fair.
It's definitely slower, but as I said, it has a lot of levels and a lot of subtleties to it. So it's not action packed, at least so far. I mean, as I said, I'm halfway in it, so maybe that changes.
Camps is back, maybe. Here he is.
I'm back. I can hear you.
Hey.
Who's in? He's in. God, blimey, that was crazy.
Blimey. Is it my go?
Yeah, go on, you can go.
Yeah, well, all right.
Dot last.
I don't know if this has been talked about before. I don't think it has.
Dot can be the and finally.
So this is £99 if you do not have a 3D printer. Free if you do, because the files are available. I'll post two links. The first one to the device, to the Tesla supercharger phone 3D print. So it's a little station for you to put your mobile phone charger through, and the print is a Tesla supercharger.
Nice.
I think this looks cool.
Oh yeah. No, I haven't got anything up for the old. Hang on a second. Right, nobody move, and then I can edit the video. this looks cool, mate. So yeah, I presume it's either printed in two colours or you have to print it yourself.
It's two colours. It's so the second link that I've put in there, Ewan, so people don't have to go rooting through the website for it, is all of the STL files, and I think it's actually printed in you print the front, the white front, the white back, the red inlay letters, the red inlay cable holder, and then two parts of the base. And then you just need two little 8mm bits of aluminium pole to essentially post up either side of it, which holds the whole thing together. If you want one made for you, it's €99. But like I say, if you've got a 3D printer, there's the files. I just think this looks cool.
It looks cool. It's actually from the northern part of Germany. I just saw that.
So I haven't asked if anybody's got a 3D printer. In return for my pick, if they'd like to print me one, that would be awesome.
Ewan, I got the same printer. I don't have any black, I don't have any white or red filament, but now I got to go buy two rolls of filament, so that's 60 pounds right there.
I got white and red.
Red?
What I haven't got is a printer that's working at the moment. It's pissing me off royally.
Nice. This is cool, Kevs. Thanks, man.
Yeah, I might just print one in all black and screw really it. Cool. This might be the thing that makes me have to buy a printer.
They're only 300 quid, Kemps.
I know. But the thing is, Ewan, she's not had a baby during the show, so you're not buying me nappies, so I've got nappies to pay for this year, haven't I? I don't know what the print time on something like this will be, but I just thought this was really cool.
Kick ass.
That is good.
And there is, if anybody wants to have a look, click on the link. There's a video, I believe, that shows, I think it's a bit of a time-lapse video embedded on this site as well. It shows how it was all made and put together.
Right, okay. Guess what I'm doing this weekend.
Sorry.
Damn. My cool thing, so it was Amazon Prime Day.
Am I going absolutely last?
Oh, yeah, I was going to do that, but no, I won't let you know. Go on.
To be fair, Doc, in the video, to save you some money, he's printed most of the parts in white, and then he spray painted the orange bit.
Yeah, no, it looks like it's single printed and then painted. Yeah.
All right, good. I'll just print it with the black one that I have. You gonna go? You only want me to go?
No, you go.
All right, hold on to your wallets, bitches. I'm about to cost you 200 bones. All right, so I just posted my link in the chat. I can't believe I slept on this for so long. I watched them when they first came out on Kickstarter, probably about 3 or 4 years ago when Kickstarter was just, you know, a wee lad. I bought this Anova Precision Cooker. And what it is a sous vide stick that you clamp onto a pot, or in my case, I use a fish cooler, like a little small beer cooler, but we have these foam, styrofoam ones that you put raw fish in so it doesn't stink up your regular cooler. Anyway, this thing is amazing. You basically put your meat and herbs, or herbs as you guys call it, and a little bit of oil in a Ziploc bag. I use an actual vacuum sealer, like a food storage thing we call a food saver in the U.S. I don't know what you guys call it. But you basically put your stuff in there, you press it down, it sucks all the air out, freezes the bag so you can store stuff in the freezer. And you basically... allows you to, let's say we're cooking a steak, right? Ewan, how you like your steak?
Depends what cut it is, but on the rare side.
Yeah. On the red side. Okay. So you go to rare and you set the temperature for like 126. God, that's not right. I can't convert to Celsius real quick.
126, let's say
you
said low.
You said it's like 50 Celsius, right?
Yeah.
You can put your steak in this guy for 50 degrees Celsius and it will cook for say 45 minutes. If some reason you're busy, you're playing Pokemon Go in the backyard with the kid or whatever, and you let it go for like 2 hours, it still will never overcook because you are creating an equilibrium between the temperature of the water in the sous vide, which basically is French for under vacuum. Patrice can tell you that. Or you have the thing floating in the water. It only never gets past say that 50 degrees Celsius that you're looking at. So when you take it out, the inside is still the red that you like. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now the only criticism of sous vide is when you take the meat out, it does look a little gray and limp, but all you do is throw it on the cast iron or the grill real quick. No, you don't get food poisoning, Mueller, because at 122 degrees you convert to Celsius, all pathogens deadly to human beings will die. So stop it. Anyway,
there's the big mistake, right? Everyone that's listening to the show has no frigging clue what he's just put. So you've reacted to it. You've outed him there, mate, and given him airtime. You've given him his 15 minutes, dude. You're just going to ignore him.
Oh, so here's the funny thing about it. 122 degrees Fahrenheit is 50 degrees Celsius. So at 50 degrees Celsius, all pathogens harmful to humans are dead, no matter what. Period. So anyway, the equilibrium is created by the water and the thing that's in the bag, and then now you can take it out and just throw it on the grill real quick just to get that Maillard reaction, and you have the most perfectly cooked steak every single time, impossible to screw up. And I just been doing fish in it over the week and making the Japanese style ramen eggs where the outside is cooked, but the inside is soft and like kind of almost like gelatinous. Oh my God, it is the most epic thing ever. You will save so much money on wasted food. All your cooking will come out easy and you can actually pre-cook because all you got to do is reheat stuff up. It is amazing.
So Adam Slack's posted in the chat room, it's like a fish tank heater.
Yeah, in a sense.
If you can heat your fish up that hot, there'll be cooked fish. So I don't know.
By the way, Doc, it's not entirely true that at 50 degrees every pathogen is killed. There are some rare forms that usually don't exist in raw meat, except if it's like ground meat. That can exist up until I think 60 or 65 even.
Oh, you put a UK link in as well, you git.
Come on, you git. That's how you work it. Anyway, the first you and steak, you want to be looking at probably about 53 to 54 degrees Celsius to get it perfect every time. And Patrice, that was Polyscience. What are like the kings of food scientists? They said at 122 or 50 degrees. So you're going to have to argue with Polyscience.
The problem you get with rare meats is that a lot of restaurants don't have particularly good cooks there. And they don't believe that they think that rare meats are cooked quickly. And it's the opposite. If you go and order a blue steak, the reason it's called a blue steak is because it actually changes to that grey blue effect that this would put out. And people think, oh, you just splash it on the grill and you serve it up last and it's cold in the middle. Rare meat should be piping hot in the middle. It should be hotter than probably some of the well-done steaks.
Exactly.
And if you go to a good restaurant where they understand that, if you say, I'll have a blue steak, please, they should be running in the back and telling the chef to get that started before they come and take your starter order.
Mm-hmm. And you know what was really funny? I've read through researching this before I bought it that many of the restaurants that do prime cuts like filet mignon, where it's actually much better as a quote unquote blue steak, that's how they do it. They've been all this time, the chefs and my chef friends all chimed in, is like, idiot, you should have told me, I would have got one for you a long time ago. They all sous vide their meat so that they can do exactly what Ewan said, serve a hot rare steak. And I was like, holy crap, how did I miss this long? I just palmed it off as some kind of like wasted expensive kitchen gadget, like the $400 cappuccino machines and whatnot. But everyone that owns it raves by it. If you're a food nerd in any way, shape, or form, and if you really want to blow your mind, go look at the picture of the salmon that I posted on Instagram a little bit ago. It'll make your mouth water on spot. I don't even eat salmon, but I have to cook it for the missus.
Good pick, mate.
Yeah, and definitely. You can really do crazy things with the sous vide. I mean, like desserts and so on, just not just meats and so on. It's really, if you know what you're doing, you can do really great things with it.
Ewan, I know how much you like grilling. You definitely should get one. Yeah. I think your grill game would just go through the roof.
Have you got to buy a vacuum thing to go with it, though?
No, they said you can just use standard Ziploc bags, and then you push them in the water that you're about to do and it causes the air to come out that you can kind of close the Ziploc bag. I had the vacuum sealer from my, never mind. Let's just say that's how we package our medicine in Hawaii. Okay. So I've had mine for like 10 years.
Is that so the sniffer dogs don't get it in the air?
Exactly. No, it's a great way to go and buy. Over here, beef is really expensive just because we don't have cow land. So what I normally do is at the beginning of the year, I go to one of the big island farms and me and a couple of mates will go in and we'll buy like a quarter of a cow. And then they cut the pieces up and then I just come home right away because they put it on dry ice and I vac everything and stick it into a freezer. So I get perfectly big island raised grass fed beef and I have, I just bought a half a cow before I bought this thing. So, you know, it only costs like $600 for a half a cow, but if you bought it as individual pieces from Tesco, it'd be like four times as much.
At least.
That's good. Yeah, no, I've hovered over the buy button again. Hey? Oh, I do. We would use it. I think we would use it if we get into it. I've cooked twice this week, so yeah.
It's saving me on fast food, really. Anyway, go ahead, Ewan.
Sorry. So my cool thing is Amazon Prime Day came around.
Yeah.
And if you remember, on Amazon Prime Day, there was loads and loads of good offers. And by hook and by crook, I managed to get myself three pairs of the Bose Soundsport. because Steve Neighbour has got a set of Bose earphones, and he had some moulds made so that when he's on the train and stuff like that, he doesn't get any background noise. And they actually had them, he had them moulded to his ear so that they fitted in. And I saw them, I thought, wow, those are great. Do you have a problem? He said, nope, they're great, they're wonderful. I used to lose earphones and that kind of stuff, but now I keep these, they're absolutely brilliant. And I said, oh, that's great. And he sent me to a company who wanted a lot of money to do my ears, and I had to go to a place in Sutton and get my ears done. And I forgot to go this morning. Oh, bad customer. I've lost my ear audio as well because it's gone down. And, oh, I can edit, don't worry. So what I did was I had some hearing protection done by... I had some hearing protection done by a company called MTech a few years ago, and they made, and I can't show these on the video because they're green, so they come out as invisible. There you go. There's my invisible ear defenders, and they're custom made for my ears. I had an impression done, and they've got a little thing on there that stops the, don't know why I'm showing them because you can't see them. The audio and the video people are together on this. So there you go. That's them. I'll show you the box instead. So they were great. They were a wonderful firm, really, really good. And they keep your ear impressions for 7 years. And I'm sitting going to the firm that Steve went to thinking, oh, that'd be great. And thinking, oh, God, I've got three pairs I want to get done. That's going to come out a bit expensive. And then I thought to myself, I'll give MTech a call. And I went up there and I said, could you put my headphones in the things? And they said, yeah, bring the headphones up. So I took them over to, they're only in Staffordshire. And they've custom moulded my ears again because they were worried that anything had changed. They said, while you're here, we might as well do it. We won't charge you anything. So they remoulded my ears and they've fitted and made custom ear things for me. And they're in the post at the moment because I paid for them today and they're on the way to me. So they'll be here Monday. But MTech, E-M-T-E-C, they're at Downton Stables near Shrewsbury. Telephone number is 01-743-709-480. There you go. If you want some custom earphones, take any set of earphones that you've got or that you've bought, send them away to them, get yourself an ear impression done and get that sent. You can go to any hearing place and get that done. Send it to them and then they will make you a set of custom moulds. They were £80. That's it. So, well worth it. Good, good investment. Thank you for the recommendation, Steve, of the people that you did, but they were twice the price. Where can we get a hold of you, Alan? Still on mute, mate.
Best place to get a hold of me is on Twitter at Digital Amoeba.
Excellent, mate.
Yep.
And at the Bash next awesome. Week, swilling yes. beer and nursing a hangover.
I would say, you know, obviously, yeah. It would be great, as I say, for the curry and stuff. I'm just sorry that due to flights, we will have to leave a bit early on the Saturday. But I think we can make it to mid-afternoon before we have to leg it towards London.
Okay. You're flying from London?
Yeah.
Can you get a flight from Birmingham?
Nope. Only to Rome, and that would have meant a 3.5-hour drive the other side to get to the villa that the sister, mm-hmm. that Helen's sisters booked. So to get a regional flight to the small airport nearer on the Italy end, no, London was the only option.
Well, okay. Well, we're glad you're here, mate. Thank you ever so much for your effort.
It'll be worth
I'm humbled by it. It's going to be well worth it. We've already got next year booked, by the way, 1st of June. 1st of July.
1st of
July. Next year is the 1st of July, so put it in your diaries now because there won't be any exceptions for, oh no, I didn't realise the date. See, 1st of July. You heard it here first. Okay. Where are you, Camps?
I'm Camping UK on Twitter. Usually on The Big Show, very occasionally on The Map Show. Loitering in the Slack room, and fingers crossed next week I will be in Castle Bromwich at the Bash.
Excellent, mate. I hope all goes well this weekend with Andrew and the wee one.
Thank you.
Superb. A new BTN fan. Yes.
Yeah.
We need all the listeners we can get.
I need to get a BTN baby girl made.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, that'd be cool. Have a word with Batwench.
Yeah.
Righty is still having trouble, so he's not coming back before we finished. He gave up about 20 minutes ago, I think. You can get Righty at Paul Ums on Twitter. Follow him, and there you go. And he's our ambassador to Norwich. Where are you, Patrice?
As always, you can find all the links and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. And lastly, but by no means least, Doc.
You can find me all over the internet at Doc Rock, DocRock, and possibly trying to convince Patrice to give me some sous vide recipes because he probably already owns one.
Excellent, mate. And you'll be quaffing a few beers in synchronization with us next week, I hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
We'll have to Skype you off a phone or something so that you can say hello to everyone. We'll do it all around. There we go. That'll work.
Next time.
My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. Don't forget, next week, Big Show is going to be at 8 p.m. on Thursday, and the Mac Show is going to be 3 p.m. on Friday. If you want to come to the studio and join in, then you're more than welcome. All you've got to do is get yourself here before 3 o'clock. But we'll have people here so they can let you in if you turn up afterwards. There'll be beer in the fridge, and we'll have a great time. It'll be good. It'll be nice. It was great last year, actually. We had about a dozen people here, and it was really, really fun. Was that the year before? Might have been the year before. I lose track of time.
Definitely last year.
Did we do it last year?
Yeah,
we definitely did. We had people here, and Ian Lewis came down and used the studio and that kind of stuff. Yeah, and Mao was here. Definitely. Yeah, you were here. So come down next week. If you want the details, send me an email at britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. And then Bash on Saturday. It's going to be great. Get yourself a ticket. Oi,
gotta be awesome.
Come on, you've got to come. It's going to be fun. We've got loads of stuff. World Card Cutting Championships, doing the draw on Tuesday. Watch out on Periscope. Thanks for listening. Cheers, everyone.
Thanks. Ewan, did you say Bash next year? Did you say 2nd and 3rd of June?
1st of July.
It's 1st of July, misheard. Right.
I better change that, hadn't I? I'll dub 1st of July over me error.